It was an emergency, the text said. An SOS emergency. Pip knew immediately that that could only mean one thing. She grabbed her car keys, yelled goodbye to her mum and Josh, and rushed out the front door. She stopped by the store on her way to buy a king-size chocolate bar to help mend Lauren's king-size broken heart. When she pulled up outside the Gibsons' house, she saw that Cara had had the exact same idea, except Cara's post-breakup first aid kit was more extensive than Pip's. She'd also brought a box of tissues, chips and dip, and a rainbow array of face mask packets. "Ready for this?" Pip asked Cara, hip-bumping her in greeting. "Yep, well prepared for the tears." She held up the tissues, the corner of the box catching the ends of her curly ash-brown hair. Pip pressed the doorbell, and both of them winced at the mechanical song. Lauren's mum answered the door. "Oh, the cavalry is here," she smiled. "She's upstairs in her room." They found Lauren fully submerged in a duvet fort on the bed, the only sign of her existence a splay of ginger hair poking out from the bottom. It took a full minute of coaxing and chocolate bait to get her to surface. "First," Cara said, prying Lauren's phone from her fingers, nails bitten to the quick. "You're banned from looking at this for the next 24 hours. "He did it by text," Lauren wailed, blowing her nose and shooting an entire swamp into the tissue. "Boys are dicks," Cara said, putting her arm around Lauren and resting her sharp chin on her shoulder. "You could do so much better than him." "Yeah," Pip broke Lauren off another line of chocolate. "Besides, Tom always said pacifically when he meant specifically." Cara pointed eagerly at Pip in agreement. "Massive red flag." "I pacifically think you're better off without him," said Pip.
"I atlantically think so too," added Cara.
Lauren gave a wet snort of laughter, and Cara winked at Pip, an unspoken victory.
"Thanks for coming, guys," Lauren said tearfully, her pale eyes swollen and puffy. "I didn't know if you would. I've probably neglected you for half a year to hang out with Tom, and now I'll be third wheeling two best friends."
"That's crap," Cara said. "We're all best friends."
"Yeah," Pip nodded. "Us and those three mediocre boys we allow to bask in our delightful company." Cara and Lauren laughed. The boys, Aunt Zach and Connor, were all currently away during the summer break. But of her friends, Pip had known Cara the longest. And yes, they were closest. An unsaid thing. They'd been inseparable ever since six-year-old Cara had hugged a tiny, friendless Pip and asked,
"Do you like bunnies too?"
They were each other's crutch to lean on when life got too much to carry alone. Pip, though only 10 at the time, had helped Cara through her mum's diagnosis and death. And Pip had been her constant 2 years ago when Cara came out, ready with a steady smile and phone calls into the early hours. Cara's wasn't the face of a best friend. It was the face of a sister.
"Okay," Cara lunged for the TV remote.
"Rom-coms or films where boys get violently murdered?"
It took roughly 1.5 terrible films from the Netflix backlog for Lauren to wade through denial and extend a cautionary toe towards acceptance.
"I should get a haircut," she said. "That's what you're supposed to do."
"I've always said you'd look good with short hair," said Cara.
"And do you think I should get my nose pierced?"
"Ooh, yeah," Cara nodded. "I don't see the logic in putting a nose hole in your nose hole," said Pip.
"Another Pip quote for the books," Cara feigned, writing it down in midair. "What was the one that got me the other day?"
"The sausage one," Pip sighed.
"Oh, yeah," Cara snorted. "So, Laura, I was asking Pip which pyjamas she wanted to wear, and she just casually says, 'It's sausage to me,' and didn't realise why that was a weird response."
"It's not that weird,"
said Pip. My grandparents from my first dad are German. It's sausage to me is a German saying. Just means I don't care.
Or you've got a sausage fixation, Lauren laughed.
Says the daughter of a porn star, Pip quipped.
Oh my God, how many times? He only did one nude photo shoot in the 80s. That's it.
The chilly east wind that rampaged up the Thames from the North Sea was no respecter of persons. It tugged at the fashionable ladies' bonnets and tossed the gentlemen's top hats off with carefree vigour, sending them bouncing down the steps of St. Paul's Cathedral to land at Flora's small feet.
Pick it up and give it back to the man.
Gert Fox gave Flora a shove that almost toppled the tiny six-year-old over. Used to such treatment, Flora ran after the expensive top hat and snatched it up. She glanced over her shoulder at Gert, who scowled and jerked her head in the direction of the hatless gentleman who was standing outside the imposing entrance. Obediently, Flora climbed the flight of steps and handed the hat back to its owner. The gentleman took it with a smile.
Thank you, my dear.
Aren't you going to give the child something, Arthur? See how thin and pale she is. I doubt if she's had a decent meal in days. The pretty lady who stood at his side smiled down at Flora, and her husband put his hand in his pocket. He pressed a penny into Flora's outstretched palm.
I'm much obliged to you, sir.
Flora repeated the words parrot fashion. She knew that Gert was listening, and if she failed to say the mantra she'd been taught, there would be trouble.
How quaint, the pretty lady said, smiling. What delightful manners for a street child.
She turned to the small girl whose hand she was holding and gave it a gentle shake.
Are you paying attention, Arabella?
Why hasn't she got any shoes on, Mama?
Arabella stared at Flora's bare feet, which were turning a delicate shade of blue.
And her dress is torn and dirty.
Hush, dear. It isn't polite to make remarks about other people's appearance.
Arabella slipped her hands out of the fur muff that hung from a gold guard chain around her neck. She peeled off her woolen mittens and held them out to Flora.
Here, put these on, girl. I have my muff.
Flora took them, but she was unsure as to what to do next, and she glanced anxiously at Gert, who stepped forward, baring her yellow teeth in a sickly smile.
I'm sorry, Your Honour. She cuffed Flora around the head. Margell got no right to go begging, sir. We're proud people, even if me old man is serving time in Newgate.
Flora looked up at her aghast.
No, he's not, Gert. He's in the pub.
Gert seized Flora by the ear.
I've had enough of you and your lies. Wait till I get you home.
The look on Gert's face told Flora she was doomed. She was about to succumb to the inevitable when Arabella grabbed her father by the hand.
Don't let the horrid lady take her, Papa. I would like a sister to play with. Buy her for me.